Fear of exaltation. One reason Ellen shrank from the trying ordeal was that she recalled the experience of some who had become proud after being entrusted by God with large responsibilities. In vision, she discussed this with the angel. "If I must go and relate what thou hast shown me," she pleaded, "preserve me from undue exaltation." Replied the angel, "Your prayers are heard and shall be answered. If this evil that you dread threatens you, the hand of God will be stretched out to save you. By affliction he will draw you to himself and preserve your humility. Deliver the message faithfully. Endure unto the end and you shall eat the fruit of the tree of life and drink of the water of life." With this assurance, Ellen committed herself to the Lord, ready to do his bidding, whatever that might be or whatever the cost. Providence quickly opened the way for Ellen to enter upon her work. One day in late January 1845, her brother-in-law, Samuel Foss, from Poland, Maine, stopped in at the house and told her that Mary was eager for her to come and visit her. "I thought this was an opening from the Lord," Ellen wrote later. She decided to go with him. In the bitter cold and in spite of feeble health, she made the 30-mile, 50-kilometer, journey with her brother-in-law, crouched on the bottom of the sleigh with a buffalo robe over her head. When she reached Poland, she learned that there would soon be a meeting of the Adventists at the little chapel on McGuire's Hill. Mary invited Ellen to attend. She consented, and at the meeting stood to relate what God had shown her in vision. For 5 minutes she spoke in only a whisper, then her voice broke clear and she addressed the audience for nearly 2 hours. This was the first time that she related her vision outside of Portland. She reported, "In this meeting the power of the Lord came upon me and on the people." Before continuing with our story, we should review a bit of history. During the months that led up to October 22, 1844, the believers were absolutely united in their confidence that Jesus would come on the appointed day. But as the weeks stretched into months, a wedge began to separate the Adventists. Fanatical teachings and actions on the part of some divided the little group who clung to their confidence that prophecy had been fulfilled on October 22. A few, following what they interpreted to be the biddings of God's word, but lacking balance and a true understanding of what it means to follow Christ, became involved in strange and sometimes wild fanaticism. A small group, however, having cut loose from church creeds and church discipline, maintained their purpose to find their guidance in God's word alone. They patiently awaited the dawning of light, that they might gain a true understanding of their position and work. These became the spiritual forebears of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Into this scene the 17-year-old Ellen Harmon was cast. She began her work by encouraging the believers and countering fanaticism, a work that was to continue through the next year or two. After a few days in Poland at her sister's home, Ellen was back again in Portland, convinced that she must follow the intimations of God's will. She had promised to go if the Lord opened the way, and now she was invited by William Jordan and his sister, Sarah, to journey with them to Eastern Maine. "I was urged to go with them," she wrote, "and relate my visions." The Jordans were driving by sleigh the 100 miles, 160 kilometers, to Orrington, on the Penobscot River. Mr. Jordan had a horse that belonged to a young Adventist minister, James White. As he had business that would take him to certain parts of Eastern Maine, he decided to return the horse and invited Miss Harmon to accompany them so that she might bear her witness in a wider circle. Little did Ellen realize what was before her. She had now assumed a confident trust in God. Financial resources for her journey did not concern her. Just where her itinerary might take her, she did not know. As to the message she might bear, she would depend wholly upon God. At Orrington, Jordan delivered the horse to James White. Here Ellen met the youthful but earnest Adventist minister, firm in his confidence in the fulfillment of prophecy. James had become aware of Ellen on an earlier trip to Portland, and was glad that she had come and he would have a chance to hear her relate her visions. As she stood up to speak, James took in every detail of her face and dress and manner. She seemed so young, so shy, so humble that he was surprised she would have the courage to speak to this gathering. He knew well the nature of some of the people in the audience. As she began to speak, her voice was low, hardly above a whisper. She faltered a little, and it appeared that she might not go on. But after a few minutes her voice became clear and strong. She seemed perfectly at ease, and all hesitation and embarrassment were gone. Her message was one of simple faith and encouragement. Following this visit in Orrington, Ellen gave her witness in Eastern Maine for several months, traveling day and night and speaking almost every day until she had visited most of the Advent bands in Maine and in the eastern part of New Hampshire. James White accompanied her and a woman traveling companion. Her message was always attended with the Holy Ghost, and, wherever it was received as from the Lord, it melted hearts, strengthened the weak, and encouraged the believers to hold on to the faith.